Mr. Moleleka, I put his apology to you for not being able to attend this meeting. In the absence of a chairperson, the committee, then I think it was last week, elected myself as the acting chairperson until such time that Mr. Moleleka will return to Parliament. And that's why I'm in the chair and not Mr. Moleleka. So please accept his apology. And I'm acting as chairperson for the committee, including this meeting. First of all, let me extend a word of welcome to all members of the Portfolio Committee on Public Enterprises. I will give an opportunity for each one to introduce himself or herself. Secondly, a word of welcome to all office bearers and the trustees of the two pension funds, the Transnet Second Defined Pension Benefit Fund and the Transport Pension Fund. We will also give you opportunity to introduce yourself as the chairperson or the actuaries or the secretary or the trustees. Thirdly, I want to extend a word of welcome also to the other guests that we invited when we learned about the request to address the committee, and that is the Department of Public Enterprises, who normally attends all meetings of the Portfolio Committee. Secondly, we also invited the Transnet. We're also going to ask you to introduce yourselves as the share, as a senior partner in this, and also the actuaries of the fund. Those are the people over and above the trustees of the two funds that we invited when we learned about your request to address this committee. A word of special welcome to members of the media who are here, the members of the PMG, who's the Parliamentary Monitoring Group, who records everything, and all other guests, you're most welcome. If I left somebody else, we're going to give you a chance to introduce yourselves, but you are all very welcome. Before I going to ask members and everybody to introduce themselves, let me just picture a little bit of a background why we're here. If you look at the order paper today, or the meeting of committees that was published for today, it says this Portfolio Committee on Public Enterprises. And this is a briefing by the two pension funds on progress made and way forward regarding the solution of Parliament, resolution of Parliament. That is the main purpose, so that we all on the same song sheet. The second point I want to make is Transnet supplied us with a letter on the 11th of November to say that the TSDBF has, through Transnet, requested a meeting with the Portfolio Committee on Public Enterprises. That was on the 9th of September. We agreed to this request, and that's why we have this meeting, for the trustees of the two funds to address the committee. When we learned about it, as I said previously, we're receiving your request for such a meeting. We extended an invitation to Transnet, to DPE, to National Treasury, and the actuaries of the two funds. Because those are all the role players that participated in this process many moons ago, when we started first the task team of the Portfolio Committee. That task team report to the Portfolio Committee. The Portfolio Committee reported to Parliament. And that's why we have this extended invitation. There are a number of important documents. The first one is the purpose of this meeting, so I've referred to that. And secondly, two other important documents, and I don't know if the Secretary has made some copies, but it is public documents. The one is the report of the Portfolio Committee published in the ATC. The ATC is the records all the decisions of Parliament. On the 8th of November, which contained the 8th November 2010, contained the report of the Portfolio Committee. And then 10 days later, a decision of Parliament to adopt the report. That was the 18th November. So what we're here to discuss today is just to see what is progress made, what is the way forward on the decision taken by Parliament more than a year ago. I would think that a desired outcome of today's meeting will be to receive a joint plan on how the way forward should be. We had numerous discussions and meetings in the Portfolio Committee on Public Enterprises with Transnet, with DPE, and other stakeholders on this matter. Transnet committed to discuss the matter with its trustees and to make good any deficit which may arise. It's on record, it was reported to this committee. This meeting will not reopen the work that was done by the task team or the work that was done by the Portfolio Committee. We had numerous presentations, proposals and decisions. So in a nutshell, what is on the table is a decision of Parliament. The one negative that I must report on behalf of members, and I'm sure members will support me in this, is that we have not received your presentation, the TSDBF presentation, in advance of time. Normal practice in Parliament is that for any presentation to be made to Parliament or the Portfolio Committee, you circulate your presentation beforehand so that members can familiarize themselves, study themselves into this document. So that's a pity that we did not receive that presentation in advance. Secondly, when we walked in this morning, we only received the Transport Pension Fund presentation. So for all practical purposes, none of the members here from the Portfolio Committee received the two presentations. And that's not the ideal way to operate. But you can explain yourself when we give you a chance to present to the committee. This is just a background, just for us to focus and not to put issues on the table that doesn't belong in this committee. We're here because you requested to address the committee. You're here to report progress and the way forward. And we think it's important that all stakeholders are together in this room to listen to one another and to come to a conclusion how to implement the decision. So with that short introduction, I'm going to ask members of the Portfolio Committee, honorable members, to introduce themselves. I'm starting with myself. My name is Gerard Koornhof, and I'm a member of the Portfolio Committee. Can we just ask all the members of Parliament to introduce themselves?
I'm Gloria Borman, a member of the committee.
I'm Aubrey Koornhof, a member of the Portfolio Committee.
My name is Rose Soto, member of the committee.
Connie September, also a member.
Good morning, my name is Chris Kuru, a member of the committee.
Good morning, my name is Marnie van Dyk, member of the committee.
Good morning, my name is Pieter van Dalen, also a member of this committee.
Can we then ask the delegation of the two pension funds to introduce themselves in whatever order you feel?
Good morning, my name is Harry Hasenham. I'm a trustee of the TSDBF.
Good morning, my name is Piers Moritz. I'm the principal officer of the Transport.
Good morning, my name is Gary Peter. I'm the chairman of the Transport Pension Fund, and I also have with me three trustees, being Mr. Donnie Smith, Mr. Johan Kotter, and Mr. Mike Smith.
Did you bring any actuaries?
chair from our side, we have Gert Potgieter, who is representing the actuaries for the Transport Pension Fund.
Both funds. Thank you. Anybody else from
trustee of the second fund?
Anybody else from your delegation?
You are now also trustee of the FDS.
Thank you. Thank you. Can we then go to Department, Public Enterprises?
Statement 1 from DPE.
Morning everyone, Raisi Belikule, the Deputy Director General of the Department.
Adam Sedert from DPE.
Nelson Makobe from DPE.
Bayanda Brunelli from DPE. Mark Bowman Zogadi.
Hello, we're not with the CSNL. That's the department, Public Enterprises. Can I ask Transnet to introduce yourself?
Good morning, Mr. Chair and ladies and gentlemen. Anoj Singh, Acting Chief Financial Officer, Transnet.
Now it's your turn.
Chair, my name is Ravesh Rajal from National Treasury. Good morning.
Thank you.
Can we give it please?
Thank you. We've covered that. Members of the media, we now want to know where you're from.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Jean-Marie Leval from South Africa. I'm afraid I'm only here on behalf of another member of that we've just been here today with the Anton Albert, or Africa Anton Albert, but he's meeting with members of the pensioners from there.
That's fine, thank you. PGM?
Hi, I'm Rebecca Murdoch from PMG.
PMG, sorry. Now, are other members in the room who haven't introduced themselves? Are you observers?
We are observers of the employer and class of the government of South Africa, who are part of the subfund of the transport pension fund. And we have got my colleagues, Mondi Monti and Alan Jimmy from that.
Thank you. Anybody that has not introduced him or herself? Thank you.
Yeah, my name is Tisan Mujumi and I'm the secretary for the committee.
That's it. Now we all know one another. Now we can start. Okay. Thank you for that. I'm immediately going into the business of the day and I'm going to ask TSDBF to... I see there's a Transnet... Yeah, Second Defined Benefit Fund. You're on the floor, Mr. Moyo. You have the floor.
Morning, Chairman. Morning, honourable members. Chair, you started off by saying that we requested to meet with the committee. How this arose, when Transnet were seized with this matter, it actually became abundantly clear that this was a matter that had to be dealt by the fact, because Transnet can only come in the event that there is a deficit in the fund. Until such time that there isn't a deficit, in this sense, Transnet as a guarantor does not really come in. So when this matter was raised, it was the feeling of the Transnet board that it should be handled by the fund, and hence the chair will request it to meet with you. Chair, I'll start off by saying that as we stand today, the fund is currently solvent. It has got a surplus of 2.7. In fact, I think in the last few months, that surplus has grown marginally. But suffice to say that the fund in a sovereign position. And there have been concerns in the past about people have raised issues whether this fund has been well managed. It is fair to say that the fund has been very well managed. And we did look at the recommendations coming from the portfolio committee. And looking at it, we actually, the fund cannot afford to implement all of the portfolio committee recommendations. However, the fund can almost implement two of the three recommendations. In fact, talking to my colleagues, when I say two of the three, it's actually more than that if one actually talks about the quantum involved. We believe that the fund can afford closer to 68% increases, which are closer to 68% of CPI, subject to affordability. The portfolio committee had recommended that we look at paying 5 months back pay to the pensioners. Already two of those have been paid, one in November last year, early this year. And as we stand today, the trustees have recommended, in fact have approved, that we pay another month in November this year. In fact, what was proposed is about 10%. So if you actually look at even those three, because one was 8.33%, which is a month, the one was 8.5%, which is more than a month. We have recommended a 10% payout at the end of this month. So we have covered, in essence, more than 60% of that. We don't believe that there's going to be any problem with the chances of approving that, because it's coming from the fund. And why I say it's actually way more than two, because in fact, in terms of the quantum, the biggest lag of the recommendation is the CPI-related increase. As we say, that the fund can actually afford something closer to 68%. However, the one thing that in talking to our members and talking as a committee, we actually feel that if the fund was talking about CPI, we needed to be clear that we cannot continue paying bonuses, because we can't. All along, what we've actually been doing to try and get as close to 75% of CPI, we've actually been paying ongoing bonuses. But it's got to be understood that the moment we choose to go 68% of CPI, we cannot carry on paying those bonuses. And I'll demonstrate these things. And we are saying these things, Chair, because the trustees will find it very difficult from their fiduciary responsibility to propose any or approve any rule amendment that actually puts the fund in a deficit position, because then the trustees could actually, it could be argued that the trustees are acting negligently. And also, when one thinks about the generational issues in the fund, you've got some old members, some younger members. And those younger members, once the fund is in a deficit position, they actually get more worried, because they are in the fund for a much longer period. So one has got to be careful that one never passes any rule amendment that actually puts the fund in a deficit position. Moving on to the fund being in a financial position, you'll see members that at the end of March, which is the end of our financial year, we're at a funding level of 117%, with assets of 18.8 billion and liabilities of 16.1 billion. But we also thought it's important to demonstrate that over the years, the fund has indeed been well managed. At inception, it was sitting at a funding level of 111%. Then a few years later, it actually went into a deficit, and that that was closed to the point that in 2007 it got back into a solvent position, and the fund has been solvent since the fund has been solvent since 2011. And possibly the one thing to remember for the members that even when the fund was in a deficit position at 81%, the fund still gave those increases, which were 2%. If this had actually been outsourced, let's say, to an insurance company, it's well possible that they will not even have granted any increases, because when you are in a situation like the fund was in 2002, 2004, 2006, it seemed to us saying that it was difficult to give an increase, but those increases were guaranteed, so the fund kept on giving those increases. And post 2007, when the fund came into a healthy position, not only did the fund give 2%, but it also started giving bonuses. And then going into what was recommended by the portfolio committee. If you look at where we are today, sitting with a surplus of 2.7 billion, if we were to just do a 75% CPI increase, the fund, the deficit will move from 2.7 billion to a deficit of 500 million. If you do the 75% CPI plus 5 months back pay, it gets onto the deficit becomes 1.3 billion. And if you do the 7.5% plus the 5 months back pay and the 3.2% uplift, you end up with a deficit of 2 billion. And we just thought it's important to also talk about the impact of the bonuses. Because, like I said, there are people that thought if you consider the portfolio committee's recommendation to continue paying bonuses, it will result in a deficit of 5.2 billion. But the total cost of the recommendation are actually 4.7 billion, because you move from a surplus of 2.7 billion to a deficit of 2 billion. So we actually will be putting extra costs onto the fund of 4.7 billion, and the maximum that the fund can actually afford is only 2.7, because the fund cannot spend any money that it doesn't have. If we also include the bonuses, the cost of the recommendation becomes 7.9 billion, call it 8 billion, being our surplus that we currently have, moving to a deficit of 5.2 billion. So that's actually why honorable members say, from the fund's point of view, it cannot be afforded because the costs are very high. And if you look at that 75% and you start playing around with the numbers and actually turn it down a little bit, you might actually get to a funding level of 100. And roughly at this point in time, it gets to about 100 if you look at about 68%. If you look at about 68% of CPI, hence our recommendation. Like I said, we can almost afford two of the three recommendations. But honorable members, I want you to keep on remembering that it's actually more than two out of three. Because if you look at the cost of the first one is actually 3.2 billion, the cost of the second one is 800 million, and the cost of the uplift is 700 million. So the bigger chunk of it is actually the CPI increases. Like I said, we've already implemented two of the 5 months back pay, continue the current bonus structure as well as an improved CPI-linked pension increase. And for us, if we implement 68% of CPI increase subject to affordability, our pensioners have to understand that we cannot carry on paying bonuses. I'm saying this to you members, that we need to understand this because there is a view out there that maybe the bonuses are worth more to the pensioners than the increase. The cost of those to the fund are more or less the same. If you look at this table, check and I just stand up and just show you something.
You're most welcome.
You'll see that the cost of the bonus is actually more than 2 billion. The cost of the CPI increase also about 3.2 billion, where you move from 2.7 to negative of 500 million. So for us, those two, you can actually do one of both, because the impact or the financial impact on the fund is more or less the same. From the pensioner's point of view, a lot of pensioners, I mean, let's not debate whether 75 or 68. If you actually say inflation, CPI is about 5%, and you say your target is 75%, you get to, I think, about 3.75%. And so you are effectively giving the pensioners an increase of about 1.75%, call it 2%. And on average, our pensioners earn about 3,000 a month, bearing in mind that quite a lot of them earn below that. If you give an increase of 2%, 3,000, you are giving them about 60 rand a month. If you give them a 13th check, you are giving them 3,000 rand. Some of them argue that they can do something with 3,000 rather than the 60 rand a month. We cannot necessarily say it's conclusive, but there is that view that possibly in looking at this solution, we must actually bear that in mind, because what we need to do is actually try and reduce the plight of the pension. The 3.2% uplift in its totality really can, it's actually the one that Chair will say it cannot at all be afforded by the fund. So our view is that, like I said, we have implemented more than two of the three of the 5 months they paid since the discussion commenced, and we will be paying another one, which makes it three of the five, and we can get just under 70%, and current number that we're looking at is about 68% of CPI subject to affordability. And we think we can actually do this very speedily with the minimum delay. And we don't really think there is a lot of delay, because we can find mechanisms to pay this if we needed to effect a rule amendment. We could actually look at a rule amendment, because it will not put the fund in a financial position. Otherwise, to do any of the other things, we'll actually be asking trustees to get to a level where they could actually be challenged, and they get challenged in their personal capacity, where you actually put the fund in a deficit position. Chair, that's it. For me, I'll take any questions, but before I do that, outstanding members of our committee chair. That might want to add something into the presentation.
Thank you, Peter. Through the chair, I just want to re-emphasize the point that Mr. Moyo made on the last slide, that it is the continuation of the current bonus policy, which is a double check plus annually, or a higher annual increase linked to CPI, the 68%. Those two strategies will cost the fund approximately the same, according to our actuary, but it cannot be both, so there must please not be any confusion. As to which one of the two, the Board of Trustees must still deliberate further, going forward, and we'll take very close advice from the member trustees on the Board of Trustees. Thank you.
Chair, we also have among in our committee, we do have a member who is elected by our pensioners. Maybe, with your permission, I would like to ask John to share some of the views of the pensioners on this, on the issue around the bonuses.
I think we want your presentation first. And any additions of any member of your team who wants to make a additional comment, I think is welcome.
Yeah, he's a member of the committee.
Then I'm going to ask, before we get to that, I'm asking my members of parliament, the honourable members, whether you first want to have a discussion on this one, and whether we also take the presentation on the transport pension fund, because there are two funds, and then take together and open up for clarity questions and questions to the trustees. Can I get an indication to have both? So can we ask Mr. Benwell then to make a brief comment in addition to Mr. Moyo, and then immediately after we're going to ask the second presentation to be made, and then we open it for clarity and questions. Over to you.
Chairman, the reason that we support the bonus rather than anything else is because at the moment in the fund 48% of the members earn less than $1,500. 37% earn less than $1,000. A small increase to those people means absolutely nothing. We went around the country and had discussions with various groupings, and they told us very clearly we were contemplating paying their bonuses monthly, and they said no, give me that lump sum, because that small bonus monthly that would have been the equivalent at that particular time of an 8% per month. And they said, no, don't give us 8% per month. Give us 8% of the total bonus once only, and at least we can do something. So the feedback that we've got is that the members favor strongly the payment of the bonus rather than the small increase, which is going to be equivalent of about 1.5%. They're going to get a 1.5% increase and lose it like this year 10% bonus.
Thank you. But you talk. Both Mr. Moyo and yourself talk about ad hoc bonuses.
Yes.
Subject to affordability.
The fund has immunized bonuses for the next 10 years. So, in theory, if everything goes well, we can pay bonuses for the next 10 years.
Mr. Moyo, can we. Anybody else from your side?
No, Chair. I just want to confirm what Mr. Federal is saying. With our strategy, the way that we constructed our strategy, we believe we can comfortably carry on paying these bonuses until 2021.
Thank you. Members, just take your notes and your remarks and your clarifications. Can we ask the Transport Pension Fund to make your presentation?
Thank you, Chair. Good morning once again, Chair and the Honourable Members. We have prepared a short presentation, really going through the background to this important matter, discussing the rule amendments, which is a critical aspect of the process to follow, looking at the evaluation results, should the Portfolio Committee recommendations be taken into account, and also understanding the trustees' duties with regards to funding, and we'll also allow time for questions, if that's okay. So in terms of the background, since 2010 in November, since the Portfolio Committee recommendations, we have had numerous meetings of the fund internally, as well as with the principal employer, Transnet, and the task team which has been set up to look at these Portfolio Committee recommendations. The recommendations being the prospective 75% linked to CPI, the 6.2% base pension uplift, as well as the 5 months back pay. Now, what is very important to understand is that the Transport Pension Fund is a separate entity which is managed separately and independently from any other Transnet fund, including the TSDBA. Completely separate, the demographic of the members are also very, very different in terms of risk profile, age demographic, and indeed the risks associated with the fund, as well as the investment strategy, is very, very different from any other Transnet fund. So it's often difficult to paint the funds with the same brush. Also important to note is, prior to 2007, the Transport Pension Fund was called the Transnet Pension Fund. And in 2007, along with the restructuring of certain businesses and sale off of certain businesses within Transnet, it became the Transport Pension Fund and was split into three sub-funds, being the Transnet sub-fund, the SAA sub-fund, and the PRASA sub-fund. And obviously, listening to the Portfolio Committee recommendations, talking to Transnet pensioners, the Transnet sub-fund consists of about 4,440 pensioners and 809 active members. Incidentally, no bonus payments have been made to date, and that's because the rule amendments which will allow bonus payments haven't been approved as yet. So talking a bit more about the rule amendments, we have submitted these rule amendments to the Department of Public Enterprise as early as June of last year. Unfortunately, these haven't been approved as yet, which has obviously put a lot of pressure on the employer, as well as us as a board of trustees, based on the pensioner expectations, especially given the fact that they would naturally compare the Transnet sub-fund to the TSDBX, where they actually do make bonus payments and their rules allow for bonus payments. So in keeping with the three separate sub-funds, they have different rules. Currently, the three separate sub-funds all allow pension increases at a guaranteed level of 2%, but the amended rules provide for, on the Transnet sub-fund, 2% plus add-on bonuses. On the PRASA side, 75% linked to CPI, as well as for SAA, and SAA have a hurdle rate of 5.5%. That's in those amended rules that haven't been approved as yet. But what is critical to understand is that none of these Portfolio Committee recommendations can actually be implemented on the current set of rules. Additionally, should the recommendations be implemented, it would require another set of rule amendments, which would be subject to employers' approval. So having a look at the valuation results, as of 31st of March 2011, we took our year end to determine the affordability of the Portfolio Committee recommendations. And you can see here that the Transnet sub-fund has assets of 4.485 billion rand, current liabilities of 2.967 billion, and the Portfolio Committee recommendations, the financial impact would be 792 million rand, reserves of 554 million rand, with total liabilities totaling 4.313. That gives you a small surplus, which is neither here nor there, because your market valuation of your assets could change tomorrow, and that could result in a zero balance. So it's quite small. The funding level then being 104%. So in effect, the Transnet sub-fund can afford the financial and cash flow consequences of the Portfolio Committee recommendations, but is still undergoing deliberations to determine the best possible means of implementation, whether it means an additional increase of CPI as opposed to 75, or through bonuses similar to what TSDBF do. That's something we're still in deliberations with and in discussions with the principal employer, and that will be subject to employer approval once again. So in closing, looking at the trustees' duties, it goes without saying that it's impossible to pay out benefits which are outside the rules and legislation. Additionally, the Board of Trustees will ensure that the financial position of the fund is sound, and that includes reserves. And lastly, I can commit and assure the Honourable Members that the Transnet Sub-Fund Board of Trustees is very committed to providing additional benefits to its pensioners and is in continuing discussions with the employer to ensure that that is achieved. Thank you, Chair. Thank you again for the opportunity to present to the Honourable Committee, and we'll take questions when you're ready.
Thank you so much. Anybody from the Transnet Pension Fund who wants to make an addition from your side?
No.
Members, do you have it? Two presentations. I'm going to open it up for questions and clarity. If you can just indicate to the committee secretary you want to ask a question, and you will put the names down. Just to re-emphasize, when the committee tabled the report in Parliament, it clearly stated that it must be affordable, fair, and one that did not jeopardize the future of the pension funds. That was part of the report. It was never intention to jeopardize the position of a pension fund. Before I... yes, Transnet, can I ask the members to ask clarifying questions, or do you want to come in at this point in time? Good. Okay, members? Ms. Bowman, Honorable Mokwena, Honorable Van Dijk, Honorable Van Dalen, Honorable Sontu, Honorable September, Honorable Gololo, and all of us, the last person. Thank you. Honorable Bowman.
Thank you, Chair. On a point of clarity and trying to understand where we are at, could I ask, and our chairperson has already pointed out that in all the deliberations on this, we wanted it to be affordable, we wanted it to be fair, reasonable, all those good words. And as we worked through this as a portfolio committee and as a task group, it was with an actuary and an actuarial figures. We had representatives from Transnet, Treasury, DPE, and all our meetings. And so what we eventually came up with as a recommendation to Parliament was, in my understanding, and this is where I'd like clarity, please, it was well considered. I've got a file full of figures from actuaries. In fact, there was one point in which we got an incorrect figure from the actuary. We had to come back and rework it. So that was the position. So I would like to know how now, it seems to me that when we had our presentation from you on the 28th of July, we seem almost to be going back now to that again, almost, you know, 18 months later. So if I could have some clarity on that. I also just want to understand the TFDBF. If we are talking about what you can now afford and the 68% of the CPI, the 2%, does that remain? There's no base uplift now that we're talking about. And then the other thing, and I think the question of the bonuses is extremely important, because I think we did understand that bonuses would fall away if we implemented the other. So I think we need to, and obviously we want to do the best for the pensioners. I think that is what's paramount in our thinking. The last thing I want to have clarity on, and that is, you say that you've implemented the ex gratia, the 2 months of the 5 months. Now I think because we were talking about a lump sum, we weren't talking about monthly installments on this. It was an ex gratia payment to the value of 5 months. Now, you've already started to pay that, and I think I would like some clarity on that as well. Thank you.
Honorable McQueen.
Yes, Chairperson. Let me express appreciation for what appears to be a true nethering. As far as the resolution of this issue is concerned, because we as Parliament obviously want that matter to be resolved and to be closed. Now, prima facie, it does appear that quite a lot of good work has been done. Enough consultation. I just want to find out if you have the TSDBF. You did consult with the rest of your the subscribers, members of the fund, so that your recommendation does not appear to be flying above like a kite above their heads. and then we put some comeback. Although it does appear quite general and pragmatic to us as members of Parliament, because Parliament cannot contradict itself. You see, we've passed the Companies Act. The Companies Act, and this is what I like about your solvency aspect, we cannot, the Companies Act wants all directors of companies not to spend any dividends to shareholders. This will risk the solvency of the company. So I'm quite satisfied that you're very cautious of that, so there will be no illegality flowing from the decision. Because it's nice to please people now, and then come a few years down the line, then the young members actually stand it. Because to me, that now they will turn up to the state and say, state acted very irresponsibly. So I think I like what I heard from you. Just want to find out, let me get part of the repeat myself, that if all bases have been covered in terms of consulting your members, that this is the way to go. So that we as a portfolio committee are not just endorsing what has not been heard by your own members. I'm aware you crisscross the country, but I just want to find out if indeed they have your own AGMs. I don't understand. I don't know how you actually consult with them, whether you have a formal AGM or you meet them the geographical area. But if you got that endorsement, it is better if it comes from the bottom, going up. Then it gives me, our job is very easy, just to say we appreciate and implement immediately. Instead of us coming with a prescription here and saying, and the 10 communities say, thou shalt do the following, because then we'll be held responsible for those decisions.
Honorable Fontaine.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, with your permission, I just want to ask the Chairperson of the Fund one question, which might be part of my questions, just to answer a question, then I can carry on. Is it fine? Chairperson, I just want to know, are you appointed by Transnet or been elected by the pensioners?
I'm appointed by Transnet. I sit on the board.
Thank you, Chair. So one can take it for granted, of course, then the Chairperson also have to adhere to Transnet instructions. Now, Transnet form a major entity in this whole issue, and I'm very glad to see the Transnet representatives here that was part of the task team as well at my back. Chairperson, I think it is very important for us here to get the records straight as well. When the task team sat, we had representatives from Treasury, from Transnet, and from the Department for Public Enterprises. It was a combined effort, and we worked hours and hours, and Parliament spent a lot of time. And as you said in the beginning, Chairperson, the document has been dealt with, it's finished and done. And in front of us was this amount of pensioners of almost 80,000, consisting, like our research, Mr. Boscardi said in his document, in the research document, consists of two pension funds in the past, the pension fund for black employees and the pension fund for white employees. We emerged in 1990. So we're working with all races that are part of the pensioners and the dependents in this fund. And then we ask at that stage, when we come to our conclusions about the ex gratia payment of 5 months and the base upliftment of 3.2% and then a 75% of CPI, we ask Transnet how much will be needed over and above the funding level of the fund. That was made clear over and over. It's on record, it's on your minutes, that put the fund aside. How much will we need to implement these three proposals? And the actuaries at that stage told us that it will need a 1.9 billion rand cash injection. And that was the recommendations. This is the report of the committee, the original one, that says an aggressive payment of 5 months pension and base upliftment of 3.21% and the 75% of CPI annual increase going forward on the 3.21 uplift base.
Chairperson, now what we hear today again of the bonuses, and both Mr. Benwell and the chairperson spoke about the bonuses. And we already expressed ourselves in the past about the ex gratia bonuses. We can't take it to come and tell the committee that already 3 years of the ex gratia payment, or 3 months of the ex gratia payment, are being paid back by means of bonuses. We just can't live with it. And I'll tell you why. It's been said by Mr. Benwell that some of these pensioners receive 1,000 rand per month. And the chairperson of the fund said, this year they received a 10% increase. Now 10% sounds very high, comparing to the 2% annually that pensioners receive. But remember, the 2% was on the pension base, and it was a 2% which they received every month. This 10% ex gratia bonus, and I've said this over and over in this committee, is only a 10% once off on the gross salary. So 10% of 1,000 rand, if you get 1,000 rand, you will get a bonus of 100 rand. There are 12 months in a year. 100 rand divided by 12 give you 8 rand per month. Now with 8 rand per month, you can buy a bottle of water. That's all. And this is, now to come and tell us that this will bring relief, is absolute not the truth. Chairperson, that is why the committee decided, like Mr. Benwell just said, with his interventions with the pensioners, we decided to split up the 1.9 billion. And part of the 1.9 billion would go in the form of a ex gratia once-off payment of 5 months' pension. And then at least the pensioners get something in their hands and they can live with it. And one of the reasons that the committee considered was because of the age of these pensioners. We had decided on a once-off or to pay it over years. And we realized, because of the age of these pensioners, and to use the exact words, because they are dying every year, some of them, we would like to see them get something while they are still alive. And that's how we came to that decision, and we all remember that. Chairperson, had never in this document, in this recommendation that was put to Parliament, it was never said, or anything said, something about the funding level of the fund. The funding level of the fund was there. We talk about over and above. Chairperson, we considered the bonuses at that stage still to be carried on if the fund can afford it. But over and above that, we need the 1.9 to implement those three proposals. And it was told to us at that stage that the ex gratia bonus that was paid before we came to this decision was actually for damage control, if I can put it in that way, because the pensioners were neglected since 2000, only receiving a 2% annual increase in their pensions. So at least Transnet came in there with some relief with the Board of Trustees to give them these ex gratia bonuses. And we said, if the fund can afford that, they can carry on with the ex gratia bonuses, but it has nothing to do with the 1.9 billion. And if the fund cannot afford it, then they stop the bonuses. But it has nothing to do at that stage with the 1.9 billion. Chairperson, then, as you said, the documents went through Parliament, and after the Parliament approved these recommendations or the report unanimously in Parliament, the Speaker then wrote this letter to the Minister Kikaba, telling him...
Honourable Member, I hear your plea, but can I ask you to put your question?
Yeah.
Because we still have a lot of members to participate.
Thanks, Chair. This is just
please.
To come to the question, to say, you know.
No,
see.
Go straight to the question.
Okay, that was then the Minister, and then Chairperson, this is a very serious issue, and I beg on you that I just give me another minute to put my case. In August this year, what our research person said, that for Transnet and for the Board of Trustees to implement this, we know that rules will have to be amended, and we need the approval of both Minister of Finance and the Minister of Public Enterprises because there are financial implications. Like our research person said, that both the ministers. Now, it seems to me that ministers are committed, and we are very, very glad about it. Because in August, the Minister of Finance, Mr. Praveen Gordhan, said in Parliament this, and he gave me a copy. While speaking, the Minister sent me this copy of his answer. There was a question, what are the status of this whole recommendations and the implementation? And he said it here very clearly, that
Honourable Member, that question is for public consumption. Let's summarise it. It says there is a process for rule amendments, and then it said additional funding over and above will be provided by Transnet. That's the bottom line.
That's the bottom line, but there's one important sentence, Chair, and this is, just allow me to finish the sentence. The Minister of Finance has met with the Minister of Public Enterprises. They reached an agreement that Transnet will be responsible for providing all of the funding. Here it is. Mr. Praveen Gordhan and Mr. Sikaba are committed to this. Chairperson, my question is, it seems to me that the problem here is with Transnet. Because even Mr. Bengal from the Board of Trustees differ from the chairperson of the board about this bonus and the once-off payment. It seems to us, taking into account also a letter written by Mr. Molefe to the chairperson, Mr. Maneleka, on this whole issue on what are the delays, that Transnet, in this process, and this is my question, is passing the whole ball back to the fund to get the fund to commit to those three recommendations, while the whole exercise, right from the beginning, from the tasking up to this letter of the Minister of Finance, was that over and above the fund, we need 1.9 billion. Transnet should pay it all, but the problem is with Transnet not paying the money over to the pension fund. Mm-hmm. And I want to know from the chairperson why, what is the real delay? And that's why I asked you in the beginning whether you have to adhere to the instructions of Transnet. Do you receive instructions from Transnet to pass the ball to the pension fund, or are they really committed to pay the 1.9, and if they are, when will it be paid over? Thank you.
Thank you, honourable member.
Yes, I will be very short. I just wanted to know, am I hearing right that from Mr. You were saying that the pensioners actually would like the status quo to stay like that with the bonuses and not have the recommendation from Transnet implemented, that they would rather have the bonuses than this whole implementation of this. I need clarity on that, because it sounded like I got that idea. And I think that was the wrong idea, but I need clarity on it. So if Transnet fund the recommendations, would this put the pensioners in a better position or not? I need that answer. I mean, it sounds to me like it's not, if I hear correctly what I'm hearing now. And then why is Treasury and Transnet not funding it as the minister had agreed in Parliament, like my colleague has said? Well, did he then mislead Parliament, or is he under a different impression than what we are now in this room? I mean, are these people not communicating with each other, or don't they understand the lesson? What is the problem? Please tell me.
Thank you. Honourable Gelolle. Can I just ask from my side, before I hand over to you for reply to the questions by the members. Honourable September? What's the problem?
Thank you very much.
Honourable Santu, my apology.
We were wondering whether we were not seeing it.
I received a message, you withdraw your question, so don't blame me, you have the floor.
Thank you, Sir President. I think we're navigating in rough sea and rocky bed. And really, the seriousness of this matter needs us to get straightforward answers.
Mm.
And getting straightforward answers will not come along if we are intending to rock the boat. Ours is not to rock the boat, but to allow the processes to be navigated in such a manner, because in the process of taking this historical journey, there are negotiations, there are consultations and all that. But one thing that we do not want to see is to see this process taking 10 years. That one is not appreciated. If we would just be, by all players involved, if we would be appraised about when is the process going to be conclusively decided, so that, yes, I know it will not maximally satisfy the pensioners or be maximally affordable on the side of Transnet, but that coming closer to each other, when can that be conclusively decided upon? Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Honourable September.
Thank you, Chair. On the second presentation, we heard quite a bit about the rules that need to be changed. What I did not hear, Chair, is that there's a date attached to the rules being changed. It comes across as if it's not going to be changed because of the affordability question. So I think that needs to be clarified. The second one is, you know, it doesn't matter what we say. What we must be told is the a commitment to stick to the principal matter, which the National Assembly pronounced on. So I think, you see, that one must be. You can say you've gone around the country, you can say all sorts of things. What about the principal matter? That needs to be spoken to. And then I'd like to know also has the unions been consulted on this matter? Because surely the trustees are not made up of one lot of people only. And I don't expect them to say what the unions are saying on the matter. It would have been good if we could have had them here so that they could themselves explain. But it would be good to find out. Chair, it is quite clear. In labor law, if there's a dispute, you ask for Section 77 to be raised. And Section 77 must then help the parties to see how they deal with this matter. Well, we in Parliament, I think one of the things that we must consider here is asking one of our legal advisors to come to this meeting, and we get guidance from our legal advisor on this matter. We can continue, but if the meeting agrees, if the members agree, then I think that we need to get one of our legal advisors to come in.
Thank you. Just on my side, two brief issues. One, earlier this year, in June, 28 June 2011, when Transnet appeared before the committee, amongst other things, Transnet informed the committee about the Transnet board decision of the 10th of June to instruct management to find a funding solution. It also told the committee about the surplus, Mr. Moyo, that your fund had in TSDBF of plus one of three billion at that stage. You put the latest figure to us. And then to ask the question, how can that surplus be used to improve the benefits of members? And then it was said that Transnet can only fund a deficit. And that, according to Transnet, they need to know how much is that deficit, and that deficit can only be known if there's a rule change in the rule amendment. So we were told that it cannot be in Transnet's books until there is a deficit. And it was the CEO concluded that briefing to the portfolio committee to say Transnet will cover any deficit. So my question is, and that is probably to Transnet then, before they've made the presentation or input in this meeting, where does Transnet come in on their obligation to fund any deficit? That's number one. Because I think we may find here that Transnet has a constructive obligation to make good any shortfall. And my question to Mr. Moyo and Transnet is what did you agree on between Transnet and the TSDBF? It would be very helpful to this committee if you can say to us you are trying to find one another. You're working towards a joint plan. It would be very helpful. We can only, from our side, give you advice, because our relationship with you is paramount. We want to keep the good relations with both funds. We want to keep, as members of parliament, good relations with Transnet. But then you need to go back and find one another and come here with a solution. Because what we need is a joint plan between Transnet and the TSDBF, how to implement the decision of Parliament. That is the bottom line. You went a long way to say you can fund 68% CPI increase. If I recall correctly, we never said in all our deliberations it's a CPI related increase and the continuing of the bonuses. It was never on the table that I can recall. So now it's a matter that you raise between some pensioners and the trustees, which is the best option. We cannot tell you the answer to that. But we need to find a way forward how to implement the resolution of Parliament. Because, as a member has said, we had numerous actuarial submissions. As a matter of fact, we had to go back and redo it. And because there was a wrong calculation, everything had to be scaled down on the base uplift, on the back pay or ex gratia payment, as well as the going forward on a CPI increase, related increase. So we really need a joint plan between Transnet and the pension funds. And I'm sorry, I can't talk on behalf of the members, but I don't see that joint plan. And please address us on this, because if not, we have to make a decision on before we adjourn this meeting how to carry it forward. But I really want to appeal to you to help us on this, and to be helpful to members to find a solution. Do I understand Transport Pension Fund? Do I understand you correctly that you say you all three pillars as recommended by the Parliament can be funded? I'm not sure whether I hear you correctly. I want you to confirm to us that all three pillars can be funded. When I hear TSDBF speak to us, I hear that you say you can, on the CPI related increase, you can go up to 68% instead of the recommendation of 75%. Secondly, you said you can do 2 months out of the 5 months. If I remember correctly, the resolution of Parliament said the ex gratia payment of 5 months pension. Just clarify that. And if I hear you correctly, on the base uplift, which is a crucial issue, you say you cannot afford it. The 3.21%, because the ex gratia payment and the base uplift, it plays against one another. The higher the one gets, the lower the other gets, if I understand it correctly in simplistic terms. So the lower, the higher your ex gratia payments, the lower your base uplift. This is what we were told by the actuary at that time. And we had to make a judgment call to say, we wanted a 10% base uplift. We couldn't. We were told you couldn't afford it. So we dropped the base uplift eventually to afford the 5 months ex gratia payment. The base uplift had to drop to 3.2%. So if you can give clarity on that, I will appreciate. We hand over to you to respond to the honourable member.
Thank you, Chair. Honourable member, I hope I kept that all the questions very well. The honourable member said it might appear we are going back on some of this. I do not think so, because what we've essentially done, we've actually said going back to those principles that whatever we do has to be affordable, it has to be fair, and it has to be reasonable. So we actually took the three pillars and said, what can be affordable? And we say what is affordable is 68% of CPI. We say of the 5 months we have been able to, we have paid two, we are in line to pay another one at the end of this month. On your question about the lump sum versus the monthly, our understanding was that the lump sum was going to be 5 times of the monthly pension that our pensioners are receiving. But clearly, because of the funding levels, we could not just afford to pay it all at once. And this is why we actually look at the funding levels in the fund, because as trustees, we actually have a fiduciary duty to ensure that the fund forever remains solvent. Because if we do anything else, we create difficulties for the members that we think we are actually protecting. So we actually have to be prudent in the way that we manage that fund. So the 5 months understood that the recommendation was to make a once-off 5 month payment. But what we've done, we've actually had more than, we've done two, and we've gone for three, and the three of them actually equate to more than 3 times. On the question that a lot of good work has been done, yes, we've actually done. We believe we've actually been diligent in what we've done. We have been careful, Chairman, to start consulting with the members. At our very first meeting as the task team, by the way, maybe let me just go one step back. When Transnet approached the fund to look at this, we thought it's proper that we formed a task team comprised of the trustees of the fund and Transnet as the employer. Because if we're going to make any recommendations that might impact on Transnet, we needed to ensure that it had those recommendations could, in most likelihood, be carried by Transnet. There was no point in us soldiering on and doing some work that Transnet might not necessarily agree to. We did talk at our first meeting of the trust team that maybe the starting point, let's actually go to the members and actually ask them what they prefer. And having deliberated on the issue, our own advice was, let's first do the work, come up with our own recommendations, so that we do not go to the members with a blank piece of paper. We've got over 70,000 members. So if you go to 70,000 members with a blank piece of paper, do not be surprised if you come. We need to come up with even only 100. I think you've done very well. So we thought, let's actually narrow these things down. And once we are clear in our mind what we want to recommend, only then can we go to the members and say, here's your board of trustees, this is what we thought. And that process, so from where we are now, if we agree that let's go ahead with the 68%, we will actually be going with our members and say, this is what we are thinking. But from a financial point of view, for us to be able to afford it, not create any problems for the future, the CPI increase and the bonuses are more or less the same financial impact is more or less the same, we might actually be asking you to choose which one you want, because the financial impact of it is the same. So you're actually not going to the members with a blank piece of paper. On the role of conflict in this, the question was actually asked whether I'm appointed by conflict. Yes, I'm appointed by conflict, and I am an independent director of conflict. So when I exercise my duties, I'm actually expected, when I work for the fund, to exercise my duties only in the interest of the fund, because Transnet and the fund are two separate entities. However, Transnet is an important stakeholder in the fund. I also have to consider the interests of all the stakeholders. It will be improper for Transnet to actually start issuing instructions to the trustees of the fund, because when we're in the fund, we're a trustee of the fund. We're actually at law the only head that we're supposed to put on. If you're convicted, actually, you must not even act. So I do understand, as a board member, what the employer would like, and in our deliberations, in fact, there are three of us that are board members of Transnet that sit on the fund. So we've got an understanding. We have two other members that are employees of Transnet, and we do have pensioner elected members. And Chair, I'll say to you, I think in all the meetings that I've been, all the members have actually put their heads first and foremost as members of the fund, because that's exactly what they are required to do. It will be wrong for them to go in there and start putting on the head of Transnet, because that actually flies in the face of good corporate, in the face of good corporate governance. On the question, maybe let's actually just go to my slide. On the question of the cost of this being 1.9 billion, that there was going to be a payment of 1.9 billion and the fund, leaving the fund aside, that has never been my understanding. So
actually, how the 1.9 billion comes up, in fact, this is 1.9 billion rounded. It's actually what men as a deficit should do, implement all those requirements that is coming to that. So it's not a big problem, because if there was going to be a 1.9 billion to give you these things, you still need fund, it's 2.7 billion. But as you can see, that's the cost of the 75% CPI increase. It's actually 3.2 billion. It's not even 1.9 billion. So the cost of the CPI increase is 3.2 billion. So we have to get it into our surplus and still remain with a deficit to just do the 75%. CPI. So this is the number that is always spoken about. Am I right? That 1.9 billion. So it was never, as chairman, it was never that there is 1.9 billion and you don't leave the fund. In that, you actually get to go through that. And that is why there was always a need, if we're going to do this, to have rule amendment. Because if Transnet was just going to make a payment and not have the rule, if Transnet was just going to make a payment and then give a dish to the members, we did not need to go through the rule amendment. In fact, there is actually something that I forgot. On the question of the base uplift, which was asked by the first member, other than the affordability issues, my mind, it actually creates other problems. Because if Transnet comes into this fund, though not fund, it will come in as an employer. We've got to be careful that we do not create expectations from all the other employees of Transnet and former employees of Transnet that will actually say Transnet as the employer have actually seen it fit to give some of the members 3.2% and in the other fund, and I can't speak for the other fund, they've got active members. We'll actually expect those active members to ask for the same, because you can't have in a fund where you actually start giving some benefit to some of the members and not the others. So one has actually got to be careful about some of these things, because a base uplift in its nature, you actually start dealing with what we think are employer issues. So one has to be careful. So there is the question of not affording it, which is the primary thing. But at the back of our minds, we must actually have that kind of thing, that this thing could actually help a very much undesired effect. On the bonuses being ex gratia, yes, they might actually appear ex gratia, but like I said, it is driven by what we believe is affordable, and we think it has actually been, it has done that. And the question of it being 10% of a thousand, it's not 10% of a thousand. What is saying giving a 10% bonus? If we pay our members R1,000 a month, it's R12,000 a year. And a 10% bonus is R1,200. It is not R8 a month. It is not 100. So at the end of this month, a pensioner that gets a pension of R1,000 will get, in addition to that, R1,200. A pensioner that gets R3,000 at the end of this month will get another R3,600. So it's not R8 per month. So it is actually 10% of the total of the total annual earnings. It's not the 10% per month. So I think we actually, if we pay it per month, yes, it will result in an increase of R100 a month. So the pensioner will then get R1,100 a month. So that's why I think I thought we just did it to talk about that. And on the question that Mr. Benwell and I were in disagreement, I don't think so, because I think in essence what Mr. Benwell was saying, and he can speak for himself, was if the cost is the same, what is better for us to do for the pensioners? Do we just give them the increase, which when we actually get to the now of it, moving from the 2% guarantee to 3.75%, when we do the increases next year, you actually, where a pensioner that was earning, call it 3,000, where you're going to give him 60, you're going to give him an increase of 120. Or do we give that pensioner a bonus of about 3,000 at the end of the year? That's actually the question. Do you check 60 times 12, or give one lump sum number? That is really the question that the trustees are trying to deal with, because the cost to the fund is exactly the same. And Transnet, the question that Transnet passed this on to the fund, how this arose, Transnet, and I'll get back, possibly I'll touch on what you also said, Chair. I'm trying to answer this question in the way they came. Transnet is the guarantor of last resort in this fund. Transnet's obligation only comes in if the fund is in a deficit position. If the fund is not in a deficit position, the fund cannot call on Transnet to ever put the money. Transnet only comes in if the fund is in a deficit. And that obligation is evergreen. So if the numbers that I showed you here, honorable members, if the fund was insolvent, as the fund will be having cash in Transnet. So if our investments if our investments do not perform the way that we thought and went into an insolvent position, we'll go to Transnet and say, we are the guarantor of last resort. And that obligation is actually, for as long as the fund is there and as long as Transnet exists, that's actually an evergreen. That's actually an evergreen obligation. I think I've answered the question of taking instructions from Transnet. Are we? Are we trying to maintain the status quo? Actually, the status quo is a guarantee of 2% CPI. That is the status quo. And the bonuses have only been paid in the last few years because of the fund. The fund's financial position. What we say to the members is that given the limited resources the fund can do, we have tried to manage some of those payments, and we've actually done 3 out of 5. We're saying we believe we can move on and actually do 68%. Chair, you are very right that our understanding was never that there was actually a bonus issue. However, some of our members seemed to believe that even if you did this, you still need to pay a bonus. So we actually wanted to make sure that we're all on the same page. We're not for once assuming that the portfolio committee suggested that, but there is that kind of expectation with the members. And on the question of when can it be done, our view is if we can find each other today, we could actually go ahead almost immediately. In fact, last night I said it would actually be helpful for everybody if we could actually disband the task team and say at least we've taken these resolutions and actually start working on those resolutions. Certainly, the investment committee and the task team are of the view that if we can actually agree even on the 68% or say, let's actually go and look at whether 8% or the bonus, so you can actually start saying to the members, you could actually really expect these bonuses on an ongoing basis. We could actually do that very speedily. We could actually call, I think our scheduled board meeting is early next year, and we could actually start preparing resolutions to be taken into account. But for as long as this process keeps going on, it's difficult to do that. I mean, if we agree on the 68%, we can actually take it immediately to our structure and say, this is what we can do. We can actually start looking at how to implement it very, very speedily. On the question of the consultation, even with the unions, honorable September, it was, we want to do that, but like I said, the first thing that you want to do, you actually want to come up with your package and actually say, I'm consulting on this. And you've actually thought carefully the implications and that kind of thing. On saying we're going to find a solution, how does the transit work within the fund? In fact, this task team that I'm talking about is comprised of Transnet members and the board of trustees. In fact, we've actually brought in the TPF also onto it. So we've got a much broader stakeholder.
wide implications, and you've not thought about them, and you've only thought about them in defined. So we are working together. We are working together with Transnet, and I personally had a briefing with the CEO of Transnet. I talked a lot with the CFO of Transnet, and our views on what can be affordable is exactly the same. Chairman, you say that Transnet has a construction obligation on this. Transnet's construction obligation only arises when the fund is in a deficit. And so the quagmire that we find ourselves in is that if the trustees were to pass or propose any rule amendment that gets the fund to be in a deficit, we actually start getting into problems. One of the honorable members, it's actually akin to the company right, that if trustees start making Mr. Mugwen, Honorable Mugwen, if you do that, we create a deficit, and we don't have any protection when you actually do that. So you have this chicken and egg situation that Transnet only comes in if the fund is insolvent. But right now, we all know that the fund is not insolvent, and we say we're trying to come up with the best that we can do to meet each other halfway. We are prepared to reduce the surplus in the fund to, in fact, 68% will reduce the surplus in the fund to zero to actually make sure that we start talking about inflation linked increases. The 2% is actually built into that inflation linked. So simplistically, if we ended up on 68% and inflation went up to 10%, we would pay 6.8% increases on our recommendation. The interesting thing, though, is that if inflation were to fall to 2%, right now the members get 2%. So even if inflation was 1%, they'll get 2%. If we move to 68% of inflation, if inflation were to fall, let's say, to 2, they'll get about 1.336% increase if you did that.
Not in our lifetime, it will go down that low.
Well, but you see the thing, I understand that, but this is actually what we need to find each other, because only one thing we think up to consider a rule amendment that does that.
Who knows? Ask the people.
No. So, honorable members. Mr. Moyo is on the floor.
I'm just saying, and Chair, you said, how do we resolve this? In our opinion, people can actually agree on some of these. Like I said, we could actually walk out of here and actually ask the principal officer and the office to actually start working on resolution. And we are trying, if we can, to find a way that we can do it without having to change any of the rules, because the rule amendment process is a fairly tedious one because of the nature of this fund. We have to recommend that it's got to go to Transnet. The Transnet board has got to consider it. Then got to come to, it's actually got to go to DPE, then it's got to come to Parliament, then it's got to go to National Treasury. So it's a long process. We've actually been saying, one of the things that we've been saying, Chair, can we try and find a way that we can actually do our recommendation without necessarily going through a rule amendment? So we are really committed to moving very speedily on this. So we're hoping that you agree with kind of our three-quarter of the way house, and then we can actually immediately we can immediately move. And I want to assure you, Chair, that this is a joint thing that we've actually discussed. Transnet, in fact, before, in fact, Master Kelly, by the way, have started by apologizing for not even sending me a line before him. Because after we met, I had to go back and have a meeting with Chancellor. I had to have a meeting with the PPE to make sure that all the relevant stakeholders are covered. So, Chair, what we're putting before you is actually something that has been considered by all the stakeholders. So I can say it is indeed a joint. It is indeed a joint plan. I hope I've tried to cover all the questions.
Thank you, Mr. Moyo. I'm going to allow a second round. Please don't rehash the same issues that we've covered. That's fine.
Thank you. Through the chair, the point was quickly mentioned about the union consultation and Section 77 disputes and stuff like that. By all means, go down that path, and get legal advice. But it could be a very serious double-edged sword. Section 77 is basically public interest issues. So one direction would be to mobilize broad-based union industrial action in sympathy for the plight of these pensioners. That's the only way you could do that, through Section 77. If that were to happen, that will not be confined to Transnet. That will undoubtedly spread into other parastatals and other big corporates, given the current socio-political and economic climate. So please highlight that to the legal advisor. The other potential problem around turning this into a labor issue would be an unfair labor practice charge from current Transnet trade unions, because if Transnet were to, off their balance sheet, fund something for a limited group of employees or ex-employees, it would constitute an unfair labor practice, on which basis an arbitrator may rule that must happen for everybody in Transnet, as well as who constituted the old Transnet, whatever it was called, before the unbundling in the 1990s. So that is a very, very complicated area that I would urge the committee to consider carefully before engaging with unions at a national level. Thank you.
Thank you. A second round? Ms. Honorable Bowman, Honorable Van Dalen, Honorable Van Dijk, and Honorable September.
First of all, you didn't answer the question as to how we came to the conclusions that we did with the representation that we did have from the various stakeholders. And then my next question is, you talk about the consultation process. Are you now saying that and this was a question that hasn't been answered, that the beneficiaries would prefer to have the bonus, which is more significant than the proposals or the recommendations that are coming, that came from Parliament?
Thank you. Honourable Van Dijk.
Chairperson, thank you. Chairperson, I think we dealt with it in the task team as well. I've got pay strips that show that some of these pensioners receive 100 rand per month. And that's why I came to the 1,200 rand per month. I've even got a pay strip that the person after deduction receives only 1 rand per month. And I will give it to you if on request. I will gladly provide it to you. But taking the more convenient example, like you put forward, where you say 12,000, so it gives 100 rand per month increase, like you said. If the person's annual gross salary is 12,000, then you receive the 100 rand in a gratia bonus. But we must remember, Chiefers, that 100 rand is also so little you can buy 10 liters of fuel. And the problem between what we recommend in the base uplift and the gratia bonus that's been paid out for a couple of years is that the gratia bonus has nothing to do with the basis of the pension. It is just money in the hands of the people, but it doesn't uplift the basis, like the old 2% You receive the 2% increase, and on that increase you receive another 2% the next year, another 2%. So there you will get an automatically increase in the basis of the pension. While with the ex gratia bonuses, which you promote and say that this is a relief, is one off. It has nothing to do with the upliftment of the basis of the pension. So it is not 10% now, the next year, 10% on 10%. It's not that way, and we know that. Chairperson, what I like is when the chairperson of the fund said that they went through this exercise and it must be affordable, accessible, and reasonable. We all agree with that. But that is exactly the same exercise that this whole task team parliament went through with the representatives of Transnet and Treasury.
Mm.
That was our mission as well. We took those three issues into consideration. And we are not experts. We as the task team sat back and we asked Transnet to explain to us how much will be needed to come to that, what the chairperson earlier said, if you uplift the base, less was of payment. To come to that formula, how much will be needed? And Transnet got their actuaries here. They provide Parliament with a figure. And we said, over and over, it must be affordable, acceptable, and also feasible, and reasonable. So we went through that exercise. It was not necessary for Transnet, after this whole exercise was done, to come with recalculations and now come and tell us a totally another story. So what you are actually saying, Chairperson, with all due respect, is that we were then misled by Transnet. Because they gave us the figure, they went through all this exercise, we didn't say we want 1.9 billion, that is the, when we said how much will be needed, Transnet and they actually said that is the amount. So what? We must then take it for granted that we were misled by Transnet at that stage. And Chairperson, my question, this is the question, am I correct? I'm still not answered that will Transnet honour the two ministers and the decision of Parliament and not try to find a solution with the fund? As I spoke earlier, it has nothing to do with the fund. Just come to a clear answer on that.
Thank you. Honourable Van Dalen.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairperson. Mr. Moyo is telling us that the fund cannot afford all these increases that Parliament has told them to do. We knew that from the beginning. But we had an undertaking from Treasury and Transnet that they would assist in this, and that would cost us 1.9 billion rand to add on to this. And so what you are telling is totally right. You can't afford it. But where is Transnet and Treasury in this? I mean, we are missing the point here. We are asking the fund to do it, and I mean, they can't do it. We knew that from the beginning, and they are telling us now they can't do it, but we knew that. So now, where is the money that should be forthcoming? I mean, Transnet withdrew money out of the pension fund, and we don't want to rehash all the issues again, and they promised they would put it back, but they never did it, and we were trying to set a wrong right. We were never trying to put pressure on the pension fund because of the pensioners that wanted an increase. I mean, we wanted to set a wrong right. There have been it is a legacy issue we wanted to fix. And now you are telling you can't afford it. But where is Treasury and Transnet in this? I want to know. I mean, they should be here telling us why they are not giving you the money to do what we told you to do. You know?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Honorable September.
Chair, I was hoping you were going to protect me earlier on. I've not said that we must call for a section 77. I said out there that if there's a dispute, there clearly is in this room. I said that that's normally how it's been dealt. So I think it's just been taken completely out of proportion, my comment that I have made. And to tell me that, you know, all of these other things that will happen. So I think for the record, that's not what I said. And the second thing that I said, which I still insist, Parliament adopted a report of this committee. It is within our rights to get legal opinion from Parliament on how we move forward. It's within our rights to do that. That's the process of Parliament. That's the procedure that we need to follow. Because at the end of the day, with something being adopted in the House, and the speaker having followed this up with all the correspondence that we see, it is our duty to say, what do we do now with this decision that has taken? So it is not if we want to do it or not, it's within our right to do it with Parliament. And this is, I mean, I can't be almost half threatened here that if we go this route, then all these other things. So I really thought you were going to protect me what I actually said. But there are two things that I've asked which were not answered. The one is on the principal matter, how do we get back to the principal matter of what has been adopted in Parliament? And the second one is I've not heard the question on public enterprises that I asked, because on the second one I said, I'm not getting it. Are you saying that you can't afford it, or are you saying you are going to amend the rules? Which one of the two is? Do you want to amend the rules, and is there a date, or you don't want to amend the rules, because in any event you don't have the finances to do that? I didn't get that one. But sure, I think we can now ask very many questions, and we can go on and on and on about this issue. We actually have got to find a way forward on what we need to do with this entire one, and the committee obviously needs to also take into consideration everything that has been said here, and we have to for ourselves also come up and say, how do we take this matter forward? So that's one route that we can take, of course, with the legal advice. Or otherwise, we can say, look, we've heard what everyone said, and the parties walk away from each other, which is not a good thing. We will have to come back with each other as a matter of urgency to deal with this matter. Now, we can either do it tomorrow, next day, next week, whatever. But I think this is one thing that we need to take into consideration so that the meeting don't end inconclusive. And I think we really have to find the time to dig into everything that has been said here on our own and really come up with how we think we should take this matter forward. So my suggestion would be, Chair, that maybe we will start seeing how do we take this matter forward.
Thank you for that. Any other member? No. You had your chance. I'll get a third round if it's necessary. Can I give an opportunity to Transnet if you want to say something? Treasury, you came all the way from next door of Victoria, if you want to say anything.
From a classic perspective, Mr. Chair, just in terms of maybe responding to Honourable Borman's question around the let's call it true affordability level that you probably see currently. As you saw in the presentation, I don't think the numbers have changed. The original costing of the portfolio committee resolution was the 1.963 billion. And as you see on Mr. Moyo's slide, you can still see the number of about 2 billion for the So from that perspective, I think the original numbers that we have presented to the committee are still relevant from that perspective. In terms of the Transnet position on the pre-resolution, I think when we were part of the task together in the National, it was always a concern around from Transnet to the affordability of the portfolio committee resolution. Not withstanding the fact that we had the capital expenditure program that we needed to roll out. And it was always understanding that if it was going to be done, it would be at the expense of capital expenditure, which is effectively kind of in anyway, to roll out. And I think that was always a question, and obviously Transnet being in a net borrowing position, it is logical that if we had to then take on additional debt, which is what the 1.9 calls for, it would then be at the expense of capital expenditure. It would also obviously negatively impact our borrowing ratios, which is the gearing ratio and the cash flow ratio, which we also covered in the past meeting. And from a governance perspective, the board, as you quite correctly take the decision to say this and go investigate the possible solutions that you could find for the implementation of the portfolio resolution. As a result of that, the request to the funds was an issue to say that we have received clearly understand what the possible implications of that resolution would be. And as a result, we obviously could get there with the two funds having come to convention to the portfolio committee what the impact of those two of that resolution would be on the two respective funds. Having said that, from a government perspective, we would then have to take that back from the two funds into a transparent perspective in terms of the board of funds that's sitting down, having a look at what the two funds have come up with in terms of understanding what should be spent given that we think the position at this point in time. So at this point in time, Mr. Chair, that is what the transparent position of the matter is. As Mr. Morgan has said, the solutions that both of the funds have actually presented have been canvassed with the transparent management. It has not gone to the board. It has been canvassed with the shareholders. In terms of BPE, and obviously National Treasury has made its position quite clear in terms of the funding of the 1.96 billion that we found. In terms of the position of Transnet going forward, I think Transnet will consider the respective position of the fund in terms of what in terms of implementing possible enhanced benefits for the
just repeat your last sentence, so I didn't get that.
I just said it's changed. Good.
Yeah.
Transnet will basically take the true position of the two funds into account in terms of implementing possible solutions to enhance pension benefits. And as I said originally, that would obviously need to go through from a fund perspective to the Transnet board, from Transnet board to the country. Because these amounts that we talk about are quite substantial amounts and would require a premier approval of some sort of the for us to execute the information. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
So, Treasury, you want to add something?
Chair, if I could just add as well, I think the position for National Treasury still is that, I think as per the two ministers when they didn't meet in February, is that transfer funds the actual deficit. So that's the position that could be held in February, that's the position that's still in chair.
Anybody else, Mr. Yeah, sure.
Thanks, Chair. Just in response to the Honourable Member September's question around the amendment of the rules, we have actually submitted the rules for amendment last year, June 2010, to the DPE, and that obviously follows its process. That hasn't been approved as yet. We haven't received those rules to allow for ad hoc bonuses. I also stated that, and also to answer your question, Honourable Chair, the transport sub-fund can afford the financial consequences, the cash flow consequences of the portfolio committee recommendations, okay, and still allow for a small surplus of 172 million. The total impact would be 792 million of the portfolio committee recommendations. So it can afford that, but what it is doing is currently deliberating and is in discussions with the employer on the best means of implementing the recommendations. Given the fact that the current rules, as they stand, do not allow for us to be able to implement the recommendations, and should we want to, we would require an additional set of rule amendments, which is subject to employer approval. So that's the position that we have. We can afford the financial consequences. It would require additional rule amendments, and we're looking at alternatives in terms of how we can actually implement the recommendations, obviously subject to employer approval.
Thank you. Honourable
so,
September.
Is it possible that they can answer?
DPE?
Yes, well, respond to the question, but maybe before I address the process issue, I think it's important, Gary, that when you don't receive a response, that you also follow up, because we're talking a year later. But in any event, he said June 2010 to your supplier that he submitted.
Mr. Surely we're not interested in internal disputes here.
Okay. No, that's all right. I'm just making the point that we have responded. However, I just had to follow up with the office now. We had to get the concurrence of National Treasury. It's been received, and the fund will receive the rule amendments. But let's also recognize that the rule amendments are not on the current, so there would be additional rule amendments that are required, just so that we're clear. It's not going to be for the implementation of the current recommendations of the committee. It's
Thank
just
you
to
for
pay
that.
The bonus.
Thank you for that. Mr. Moyo?
Chair,
question on the conclusion. I hope Anoshi touched on it. That actually the conclusion that actually showed in my mind, having seen some of the papers that were presented to the committee, we're still talking about exactly the same about exactly the same number. So I wouldn't it's not that we've come up to different numbers. So the conclusion on the funding is exactly the same. On the recommendations, when we say we're going to try and talk to the members, at the end of the day, some of these issues of what you do, we also have to bear in mind that also, like I said, the generational issues. There are some older patients that actually literally want cash now. And there are some that we say, I'm happy to receive it over a period of time. These are some of the things that should be I think it might suffice, and I might ask the actuary to come in here. When we talk about the 2% and the base asset and the 10%, the way the funding has actually been looked at, and when I say that the bonuses, a provision for these up to 2021. The way it's calculated is that the difference between if you're to take the base salaries and actually push them up by about CPI going forward and the bonuses, you actually come to more or less the same number. So the financial impact of it, Honorable Fandaichi, is that that's actually why the bonuses have not been only like 4% to cover the extra 2%. They've actually been at 10%, at 8%. But the intention of it is that going forward, it almost mirrors the 75%. But the beauty of doing it with the bonus structure is it actually allows you the flexibility at any one time to look at the funding levels of the fund. So it's actually, in a sense, taken that into account. And I think we've dealt with this thing that the committee was in a sense misled by chances, because the numbers that we actually tabled are still exactly the same. On the question of where is Transnet and Treasury, my understanding was Treasury upfront did actually say that they could actually not afford it. There wasn't anything voted into it. And their view was that if this were to be paid, it had to be paid by Transnet. And I must actually be careful here that although I'm a director of Transnet, I'm actually only speaking here as the chairman of the fund. But should this ever have to go to Transnet, you actually have to go through proper PFMA approvals. And actually the board of Transnet must actually believe that they've got the funds and the obligation. So and then you actually go through those approvals as I understand the process. So I'm not too familiar with exactly how government works, but it can't be questioned that there is a top down thing. They've got to apply their mind and actually say, given what they have to do, can they afford it? Because I'm not too sure that they want to find themselves in a situation where either somebody says they're funding liability that they should in, because all the PFMA issues, I'm not too sure about that. And there is a question here that was saying, we are trying to set
actually come even into the fight to say, well, the restructure and everything that we see, I have not, and I really have absolutely no reason to protect anything in the task. There is actually nothing to suggest that the board of trustees and TASNET did not do this restructuring jointly. Because to suggest either that TASNET bulldozed the board of trustees or the trustees were then irresponsible, I don't know what that is. Because that question has in the past actually come up, and we've actually said at this point in time there is enough. However, if there is maybe any evidence of that, it will actually be helpful if this actually comes to the board. But one has to understand that the trustees can only manage what they're given. The fund was set in 2000 with certain liabilities and with certain assets, and the trustees of the fund have got to always make sure that our assets exceed our liabilities, that our single most important job, and make sure that we pay the promised benefits. Honorable September, on the question of the section 177, please accept our apology. Maybe there was actually a misunderstanding, that it was actually not to say or to try and put it in the wrong way. I think the point was there is always a concern that we open this thing too widely. I think that would be more sentiment. On the way forward, I would really ask the committee to seriously consider at least approving our recommendations, because if you approve the recommendations right now, we can actually go away and do something about it, and we can actually do it very speedily. I know that it does not meet the full suite of things that you asked for, but considering what the fund can afford, considering what we think is fair and reasonable, I will ask the committee to seriously consider it. At least we can actually put some closure on it. And clearly, if the financial position improves, we are always very willing to actually look at improving the benefits of the pensioners. And for crying out aloud, this money actually belongs to the pensioners. It does not belong to anybody. And also, it then becomes important that if the fund gets to even better levels for exactly those generational issues, you've got to try and be equitable. You don't just keep it only for the future members. So my plea, Chair, is that please seriously consider our recommendation. Then we can put closure onto this issue.
Members, time is against us. I'm going to allow members just to ask another question for clarity, and then I'm going to summarize. Are there any other members at the back who wants to participate or to make an input from the trustees or from Transnet or from National Treasury or anybody else? Nothing. Very short, briefly.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Honorable Van Dyk, Honorable Van Dalen, and Honorable Holman.
Chairperson, thank you. I just want to make also this comment that it has been a year now that this thing has been dragging on. As we must remember, from the eyes of the pensioners, expectations were created, and I think it's a responsibility to those people after a long process in Parliament that this thing is implemented and be finalized as soon as possible. And that was also the words of the Minister of Finance the other day in Parliament. Chairperson, I'm very glad to hear that the comment from Treasury. It seems as if there are commitments. The problem here is that the execution of the final decision. There's just something wrong with the final execution of it. But what I would like to ask the Chairperson in short, is it true, and I've got that from previous
annual reports of Transnet, that in the past and maybe still, that bonuses for Transnet managers are also based on a good and improved balance sheet of Transnet. And if Transnet had to pay money or to assist the pension fund, it would lead not to an improvement of balance sheet and of course not or less bonuses than for the managers of Transnet. Was that the case in the past? Is it still the case? And you as the director, chairperson of the fund, you also said you're a director of Transnet. What is the view of the board of directors? Why don't they adhere to the decision or the proposal by Parliament? If you could just tell us what is your decision on the actual meeting of the state.
Thank you.
Yes, Mr. Chairperson. I'm quite clear about what's going on here. I mean, the pension fund can't afford this increase. The Treasury don't have the money, and Transnet does. So Transnet is the problem here. They must fund the deficit, and then, they must give... hulle moet die resolusie van hierdie komitee nie met minagting hanteer. Hulle moet dit uitvoer. And it's not like we just woke up one morning and we decided, you know, those people, they pay a little pension and we're going to fix something here and waste all our time. I mean, we've been busy in this committee for a long time. I could do much better with my time than sit here and now listen to people why it can't happen. I mean, we heard all these things already and it was said that this was affordable, we could do it, and now all of a sudden it's not. Why not? So Transnet, pay up and give the pensioners their money so we can have Christmas and all go home.
Thank you. Honourable Bowman.
Thank you, Chairperson. I am really by and large covered, but I think the question really is this has taken far too long.
Yes.
And since we started, I'm just sitting here thinking there was a gentleman who was very much proactive in this whole thing. He's not in this room today because he's down.
Yes.
Now, people are dying off, and I think we want a speedy resolution to this whole thing now. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Moyo, can I just... I want to summarize, because you ask us a question. So I want to summarize, but I'm going to give you opportunity to respond.
Chair, I normally don't like asking the questions because certainly some of the things that our protocol at Transnet is that set on board issues, the best placed person to comment on Transnet is the chairman of Transnet, and I think it's only fair that I observe that protocol and also give my chairman the respect that he deserves, that I actually don't start talking about what the Transnet view of someone. I hope the committee will respect that. I do agree that this thing of Transnet and the Board of Trustees is something that has seized us for a very long time. I think our minister, when he took office, one of the first things he said he wanted to do was to resolve the Transnet second defined benefit fund issues. But as you can see, Chairman, that trying to resolve these things is not the easiest. One of the members said we are actually navigating rough seas, and because somebody has to start the process, and for Transnet to accept a liability, or for Transnet to accept an obligation, there must be a liability in the fund. The trustees of the fund are almost precluded from creating a liability. If Transnet wanted to do this outside of the pension fund, it's really up to them. But if you're actually trying to solve pension fund issues that actually include all the people, I think the pension fund must actually be involved. My view is that there could actually be some lingering issues for the sake of the pensioners, at least if we can actually agree even on some of these halfway measures or three-quarter measures, at least we'll actually have started doing something. And we can actually continue on actually how we deal with the other issues, because we can actually keep on having this discussion and actually still have all these stormy waters and that kind of thing. And the pensioners will still not be paid. So my plea is that even if it's actually just going some way and actually addressing some of these issues, let's maybe try and get to that point, because at least it gives direction to the board of trustees on what they want.
Thank you. Last word to Transnet.
Mr. Chair, just to respond to the Honourable Member's question around executives' pay and bonuses. And I don't think the incentive of management has got anything to do with the resolution in question. And from a Transnet perspective, in terms of the affordability, I think the very same financial statements that are presented to Parliament each year, in fact, to reflect that Transnet is in a significant borrowing program and will continue to be in a significant borrowing program for the next 5 years. And as a consequence of that, the affordability of the resolution has always been an issue for Transnet. Thank you.
Anybody else from your delegation or anyone else? Let me try to summarize. We started out this meeting, with the report of Parliament, dated 8 November in the ATC. That's a document on the table, on our table. That report, recommendation and conclusion was accepted in the National Assembly. This committee cannot change that report. Neither can Transnet or anybody else. So that is the starting point. Number two, in the presentation of the TSDBF on that table that you have your various scenarios on your CPI 75% only plus 5 months back pay plus base uplift and the last one plus bonuses. That second last column with your 2 billion deficit is really the one that is in this report. That second last column?
Yeah.
Yes, that's the one.
Is the one in this report.
Yes.
You rounded it up to 1.96 to 2 billion.
Yes.
Okay, and then you came to a conclusion that 4.7 is the two together, 2.7 moving to minus 2 is 4.7. But that is still the same as this, who speaks to 1.96.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So we're on the same wavelength. That second last column speaks to this report. And that's the one that this committee needs to come to a conclusion with, on together with you. Secondly, in Parliament and by the Minister of Finance, and in the deliberations and briefing by Transnet to this committee, it was stated that one option to follow to implement this decision, or that second last column, was to get a rule amendment drafted. You remember this. I think Dr. van Dijk referred to that process, and I'm not going to repeat it, but the first approval is by the Board of Trustees. Then it goes to the Board of Directors of Transnet. Then it goes to the Minister of Public Enterprises with the occurrence of the Ministry of Finance. Then gazetted the amended policy increase. Amend the increase. And only then will, what you say to us, will the deficit be recorded, and over and above what the existing fund surplus can contribute, the balance will be provided by Transnet. That's the one that you spelled out to us today. That's a rule amendment process. At the same time, there are outside there thousands of pensioners that's really been very patient for more than a year now to waiting this outcome. You ask us to approve your recommendations that you've given us. I'm going to try to point the way forward. I think the only remark that Treasury made in this meeting was very valid and very to the point and true. This is what how we understood it as well. In all the deliberations, that at the end of the day, Transnet will fund the deficit. That was what I referred to earlier. There's a constructive obligation to make any good, any shortfall. I want to propose a way forward. And members, you should bear with me if I'm out of order. We're running out of time. It's more than a year now. Our program is also coming to an end for this parliamentary term, the fourth term. And I want to make the conclusion that what we really need is what Mr. Moyo has really referred to earlier, what members has really alerted to, and that is we still, while we meet here today on the 15th of November, there is still not a joint plan between Transnet and the funds. I don't get a sense of a joint plan presented here to say this is the way we're going to implement this decision of Parliament. And I want to propose that a possible way forward, that the trustees of the funds and Transnet really go back and find one another on how to implement this decision of Parliament. You coming with a three-quarter measure to say this is work in progress, but this is really not assisting us to go forward and really report to Parliament or to say to Parliament, yes, this report is being implemented. We're more than happy to follow Comrade September, Honourable September's proposal to get a legal opinion from the parliamentary legal advisers how to go forward. I don't have a problem if the committee go that deep. But I want to propose, if it's okay with you, you don't have to come back with this whole delegation again, but you come back to this committee with a joint plan by the trustees and Transnet how to implement this decision.
Yes, with a time frame.
And I think that I'm going to mention a date because we have our own constraints of meetings, and that is by next week, Tuesday, same time, same place, here in Parliament.
Yes.
Come with a proposal where Transnet puts in their effort together with your effort, come with one plan and say this is the way we want to implement the decision. At the moment I don't get a feeling, and members must disagree if they don't agree, that we have a sufficient consensus presented to us by Transnet and the funds of how do we implement the decision of Parliament. I hear you how much progress you've made. It's fine, and we commend you on that one, but there are crucial issues that also that there are no progress made. A crucial issue in this report was the base uplift of 3.21. There's no solution to that, so I'm very hesitant to go piecemeal. So I would like to propose that we get a plan together, we give you a week, you come back with a skeleton staff, we talk to the committee, make a proposal, and just inform us how do you proceed to implement this decision of Parliament. It's not our decision anymore. It's outside our ambit. It's a parliamentary decision, and we cannot walk away from it.
Yes.
Honourable Mokwena, September, Monday.
Chairperson, I concur with the provision that they make an undertaking now, and they say, is that time frame feasible?
Honourable September.
Chair, you have put the proposal on the table. I'd like to formally move the proposal.
Chairperson, I also agree 100% with your proposal. I would just like to extend it by saying that when they come back next week, to come with a solution,
yes,
but also with a date for the implementation then,
yes,
of the solution.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Any other member want to make a addition? Agree to?
Agreed.
I know we put you on a difficult spot, but we've come with this for more than a year.
Yeah.
If I tell you the amount of time that this committee spent last year on this issue and the effort being put in, and we really commend you on the proposals that you've made and the progress that you've made, but we're not there yet. And as the legislature, we cannot go into a situation where a decision of Parliament is partly or wholly ignored, then we will be in trouble.
Yeah.
So over to you. Is it feasible for you? That is a question. I'm not going to repeat it. You get the feeling of the committee.
Chair, Tuesday next week, it's been too soon, certainly almost difficult for us to get the committee. I suspect if Chancet would have made a decision, that is something that has got to go to the Chancet board, because from a PFMA requirement, there is actually a process for Chancet to agree to these numbers. And I don't even know that Chancet would be in a position, but I can't speak. Certainly, from my own time point of view, and thinking that we want to call a board meeting, we actually have to call a task team meeting that must make recommendations to the board, our own board, have to meet with the Chancellor, I think Tuesday next week is too soon.
I hear what you say. Can I just say, we don't complicate the issue. We're not talking PFMA routes. We don't talk governance issue routes. That debate is formulated outside this process. So we're not going that route. And I repeat myself, we sit there with a situation with a report published in the ATC of Parliament. Whether we like it or not, that is a factual situation before us, and that decision needs to be implemented. We don't want to micromanage your board or the board of Transnet. We want to keep the good relations. We don't want to micromanage. We don't want to go in detail. We don't want to preempt your board meetings and what you're going to recommend and so. We just have a feeling in this committee that the trustees, with their recommendation on that second last column, there it is, the 2 billion, with a funding level of 90.6%, and the commitment of Transnet that they gave to us to say there must be a deficit and then we will fund any deficit that there may be.
Yeah.
The trustee says, we're not going to go the rule amendment to create a deficit, because Transnet says they can only fund it once there is a deficit. And that 2 billion on your second last column is not a deficit, because it's not realized. So we don't understand you why it cannot be possible for Transnet on the funding side of it, that National Treasury is referred to, together with your progress that you've made on the three pillars cannot come together with one proposal, one joint plan. We say, members of Parliament, Parliament, this is how we propose, with time frames, to implement this decision of Parliament. Mr. McQuinn.
We desire ourselves having this thing speedily resolved, but I don't think we must make a mistake of putting a deadline which will amount to nothing else but a fuss. So let us find out from Transnet and the fund what is a feasible, well, let's call it an ultimatum, because the question of negotiating now.
Yeah.
So I don't leave this house here with a bad taste in the mouth that we are dragooning them into making mistakes, because we're trying to minimize making fair mistakes now to get this process right. Let them make a commitment here. If the rate is not enough, how much time do we need? Knowing that, bearing in mind the fact that we want this thing to be a speedy result. So let's make impose a deadline which will amount to a fuss.
Thank you. That is a very fair question.
We took a decision as the committee. It was seconded and agreed to. And the reason why I agreed to this, the time frame that you proposed, is that we must bear in mind this is not a new thing. Your board of directors are familiar with it. The trustees are familiar with it. There's no need for new task teams to come tell them what's going on. It is a case of knowledge that we all know about. It's about net just now to come to an agreement, as the chairperson said, between the fund and Transnet, and to take a decision. And that is the reason why I concur with your proposal.
Honourable Falolo.
Thank you very much, Chair. I can realize that the light at the end of the tunnel. We are going to reach finality into this matter. It's now the question of the time frame. I can see that they are agreed that this matter is going to be finalized. So my new proposal, Chair, on this one will be to say that let's allow them to go through the process, and then but the deadline, according to me, will be that at least before Christmas. In fact, before Parliament rises, we are rising at the end of the month.
23rd.
So that let's give them that time of showing up.
Thank you. You heard the committee members. Can we ask Transnet and the boards or the trustees just to respond to the proposal, one, and secondly, the time frame?
Comfortable because we've covered it, and the TSDBF still need to present
worry is that we're still, it will still be inconclusive. Because, I mean, the market.
So what you're suggesting is you will work on a proposal because the previous board on 10 June instructed management to find the funding solution in June already. Okay, and this board meeting is now on the 24th of November. Is that the first time you're going to report back?
No, don't forget anything. Come, listen. We're trying to solve a certain billion grant problem. And that's actually what in the margin is going to apply to your
yes. You see, for us, it's a 1.96 billion. That needs to be solved. Can I ask you, do you propose that you want first to have this joint plan together? You cannot come to us before the 20th, only after the 24th of November.
We can actually try, but all I'm saying is that knowing the thresholds as far as the approval that we said, this is actually something that I think it's actually subject to, and one of the things that one has to always be careful in these things is actually to presume the board.
Okay. So can we then conclude? You want to take you
know after this meeting, we're just going to look at the date and say
what we want to do now.
What I suggest you do, you know exactly how the committee feels and what we need. We need a joint plan between Transnet and the trustees how to implement the decision of Parliament. If I can be very straightforward, one sentence. Number two, we are in your hands. We want it as soon as possible. You say a week is too short. You say the board of Transnet will only meet board of Transnet, I heard, and the board of trustees will probably meet before.
The board of what we have is as a board of we are fine with what we have.
Okay, so you're
we
good. So you need to discuss it with Transnet. I think, members, it's just fair that the trustees discuss it with the board of Transnet.
Yes.
And that board of Transnet, you know the wish that we want, and after that board meeting, will you then indicate to us when you will be available to meet with this committee? Comrade September?
I thought that we had resolved this matter earlier on. There's difficulties on both sides. And I think, why don't we stick to it?
Yeah.
And let it be like that. That does not mean we don't appreciate the difficulties on their side, and I'm sure they do appreciate the difficulties on our side. How we manage between now and next Tuesday is a matter of how we're going to find each other to get what we would want to have next Tuesday. But I think let's not put undue pressure on each other now. Let's stick to the decision that we've done earlier on, and we take it from there.
I second that.
So what is the decision?
Just
what you're suggesting is this 22nd, a meeting here.
Yeah.
No, I'm talking to Comrade September.
You see, there are some things that can be discussed outside of this meeting. For us to get into all these technicalities of all the logistical stuff doesn't help us. It's a matter of what are the agenda points that we talk about as we arrive next Tuesday. But the committee is saying, let's not leave the thing open-ended, because the truth is Parliament is also rising, and that's the end of this thing. So I think all the other little things that we are trying to solve, we're not going to solve it. We must stick to what we've agreed to much earlier on. I didn't hear a counter to next Tuesday, unless I didn't hear something.
Chairperson, this is an extremely important issue.
Mm.
It is urgent, and I think perhaps what we could do is have a bit of a compromise. And my proposal, I'm coming now with a counter proposal. I think a day or two is acceptable. If Transnet are meeting with their board on the 24th, can we have our meeting on the 25th?
Yes.
Because the trustees people, you the pension, you're fine. You've done your work. So we're just waiting, and the board has already been in discussion about this.
Hmm.
So they've got to be almost at a position to be finalizing it. So I would suggest the Friday meeting, which is the closing day of Parliament.
Yes, I would make sense.
I will come in for Chairperson, thank you. According to our program, Parliament will go into recess on the 25th, so we are available.
Yes.
And I think this issue, Chairperson, as mentioned by you yourself, is of such importance, coming now a long time, that even I think it is not much to ask if the Board of Directors can have an buitengewone vergadering. Extraordinary meeting to solve this problem. If they really take it serious, it won't be a problem for board of directors to have such a meeting and also to comply to the request of the committee today.
Hallelujah.
Yeah,
consensus is that we ask you to come back to this house on the 25th, 9:30 in the morning. The venue will be arranged and you will put together for us a joint plan by the trustees and Transnet on the way forward.
Yes.
Yes. Agreed to?
Yes.
Agreed. Yes. Mr. Moyo? Thank you. Then, in conclusion, thank you for all your the participation, your attendance. This meeting is adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you.